Sup world listeners, this is Allie Haberstroh reporting for duty. It is a very, very weird thing talking to an empty room when you're used to so many people here. Melanie is officially in London, and I am all on my own. Not fun. Weird talking to an empty room. Let's see. Okay, here we go. So what you just heard to kick off the show was a lovely new band from Toronto who just released their first EP. Don't know what the EP is called. It probably should. I don't. But they're my friends, so it's okay. In that band is a gentleman named Walter Woodman, who will be on the show later with a little pre-recorded story for y'all. Yeah, they're a band from Toronto. Kensington Market, to be exact. Hip, am I right? And they are a band of boys that I have crushes on. So, I mean, what more really can you ask for? And then the next song that I played was in lieu of the Youth Lagoon interview that I will be finishing up today. You don't even need to hear about it anymore. We've been talking about it a lot. So we're going to play the whole thing today. And that was a song by me that I recorded in my living room on my tape deck. Really scary playing your stuff over the radio. Haven't done that before. Anyway, that was that. And what else? Oh, news items. I've taken notes because I know that I'm just going to get really nervous and forget my name. Anyway, so next week on the show, we have Tim the Mute. If you don't know who that is, if you've ever been to Dandelion Records, he is the very nice boy that works there that gives you a great record store going experience. So maybe you know him that way. He'll be on the show promoting his Singles Club next week, which is a single a month for a year from a slew of unreal Vancouver bands. Like, his lineup is truly unreal. So we'll play some stuff from that, I'm sure. And then Richard from Rose Quartz blog, who was on the show the other day, the charming New Zealand man, he is also now going to do one little spot a month at the end of the month promoting, not promoting, doing like a little wrap-up of sorts of internet music, a month in internet music, as we call it. Yeah, so it's shaping up to be a great month. And then Will Anderson of Weed will also be co-hosting. He's not in today, but we'll play Weed for him. It'll be like he's here. Yeah, so we're taking over. Hopefully we can do Melanie justice. And I hope, Melanie, if you're listening, that One London is wonderful. Yeah, we wish you only the best. So right now, if I can figure out how to make it work properly, I will be playing a Tim the Mute song, and then after that, I'll play another Toronto band, and then I'll play a really good track by a band called Young Magic, who were in town the other week. So yeah, here goes nothing. love you lots. Thanks for tuning in. And here is Tim the Mute.
Well, you were nothing special. You can't hurt me. Well, you were nothing, we're nothing. Just couldn't see. But if you recall, like a mole digging through the sunlight, if you recall, like a mole to sunlight, well, you might never break through. Worry it might be too bright, but you cannot be afraid of the sunlight. I don't
Listen up. The deadline for Shindig 2012 is fast approaching. If you are a local musician or band, now is your chance to get in on this high-stakes battle of the bands and earn yourself some prizes and glory. Past participants of Shindig include the Pack AD, 3 Inches of Blood, Japan Droids, You Say Party, and so much more. All styles are welcome. The deadline for digital submission is August 6th, while physical entries must be received by August 12th. For instructions on how to submit your entry, go to CITR.ca or find CITR Radio on Facebook.
I was a prisoner.
Cocaine addiction.
Cocaine took my dreams. It made me lie, steal.
Cocaine took my will, my soul.
And all I wanted was more cocaine. Cocaine Anonymous gave me freedom and saved my life. If you got a problem with cocaine, pick up the phone. We're here to help.
Contact Cocaine Anonymous toll-free by calling 866-662-8300 or find them online at ca-bc.ca.
Oh my god, whoops. Sorry, that got really heavy really quick. chose an ad at random and that's what came up. Okay, anyway, what you just heard was a song by the lovely Tim the Mute of Dandelion Records fame, of Kingfisher Blues fame, and he will be on our show next week DJing. A reminder, Tim, if you're listening, you're on the show next week. I know you told me to remind you a bunch of times. Like he's got better things to do. Probably does. Okay, and then you heard a song called Along the Line by a band from Toronto called Grounders, also a record store band. A bunch of them are from Sonic Boom. They're great, and they will also be on our show in the same way that Walter is on our show from Shy Kids today. It's just like a little story that they'll send us. So that's great. And actually, I know it was Young Magic. And the reason I know who Young Magic are is because they opened for Youth Lagoon at the Garrison in Toronto when I was there. And then the next show I saw at the Garrison, Grounders opened. And then recently, Grounders opened for Young Magic, so it's all just band incest, and that's why I know them all. That sounded weird. Anyway, so yeah, that was Young Magic. They're a band from Australia, but they say they're from Brooklyn, but let's be real, they're from Australia. That song was called You With Air, and they are wonderful. Yeah, cool guys. I guess I have time to do a ticket giveaway. Oh my god. Okay, I know there's at least 2 people listening, and you have your choice between tickets to Cursive, which would be a cool show. You also could go to Ono Yoko, which confirmed those guys are awesome. And or Silver Sun Pickups. Really, really your choice. You can call in to 604-822-2487, which is UBC CITR 604, and answer, oh god, the following skill testing question. Didn't prepare for this. What is your favorite color? And you can call in and answer when I play a song that I haven't really decided on what that's going to be yet. Oh god, I was doing so good. I was doing so well. Oh, someone's calling. Guys, chill out for a second. Okay, I'm just going to play the next Young Magic song. Okay, love you lots. Bye. It's called Sparkly. big congratulations to our winner. Never met this person before. I think she said her name was McLean. Anyway, congratulations. You've won 2 tickets to Cursive. Anyway, so now I'm going to play the elusive Youth Lagoon interview that we did the other, I did the other. I always say we when I refer to this show now, and it's really sad because it's only me in the studio. Okay, I did an interview with the lovely Trevor Powers of Youth Lagoon, which was planned in October when I met him in Toronto, and now 8 months later, here it is. They were in town the other day, did a wicked good show at Venue, and we hung out from like 5:30 to the till midnight 30. What a kind dude. Gave us lots of free beer, had great mates with them. Just a generally fun time. You can see the photos that I'll post on our blog. We went to the beach. It was fun. So yeah, if I can make this work, it'll be a miracle. And bear with me. I hope you enjoy it, though. Later on in the show, an interview with the lovely Shy Kids of Toronto featuring Walter Woodman. All right, here we are with the Youth Lagoon interview. Just give me a sec. Just bear with me. Just bear with me. Is it about Youth Lagoon that you think people find so enchanting?
I honestly don't know that much. Like, I, it's like my own, like, music's always been, like, a very, like, it's, like, my thing, I guess.
Right.
It's, like, the journey I want to go on. Like, it's, like, I want to go this way, I want to go this way. Like, so I don't really think about, like, what other people are going to, how other people are going to interpret it. It's
right.
The weirdest thing, because, like, sometimes people just, like, interpret things, like, totally different, like, and so I don't really even evaluate that part of it. I just kind of, like, it's like, this is, it's like, just kind of do it, you know?
If you started evaluating it, do you think?
What?
It would, if you started evaluating that kind of thing, do you think it would affect you for the negative?
I don't think so, no, I just kind of choose not to. I just kind of, like, it's like what it is. Is, you know, so I just kind of, I don't know, it's like, I see it as, like, it's like my own musical journey, you know?
Right. And what I love about the Year of Hibernation is that I can listen to it, like, a gajillion times, and it still, like, doesn't lose meaning, right? Like you were saying, with the city, doesn't lose meaning, no. Do you, after touring it so often and playing shows every night, has the meaning changed for you with those songs, or is it still sort of the same as when you started writing them?
In some ways, it's exactly the same. Like, I'm kind of, like, taken back to, I guess, you know, where I was when I first started writing songs on the spot. But, like, in a lot of ways, like, it has changed at the same time. Cause it's, like, there's all kinds of, like, I'm already kind of on a different, like, musical journey.
Right.
When I go back home, like, I'm kind of, like, exploring all new grounds. And so it is kind of, like, bizarre to, like, have these songs I recorded, like, a year and a half ago.
Right.
Still, like, working on them and all that stuff. But, so, yeah, so it's kind of, like, a mix of both, I guess.
Right. When you were writing the songs, was it for an album? Like, did you set out to write them for an album, or did it just sort of come together?
It was, yeah, there was definitely, like, I there was this point, it was in 2010, like halfway through the year, I was like, you know, I want to record a record beginning of 2011. And so I kind of like set that goal for myself.
Right.
But I didn't like, I didn't have like this like big agenda for it. Just kind of like started writing and like whatever came out, you know? So I guess that's kind of how I always am. Like there's just like, music is the way I like, I guess like interpret what I'm around, you know?
Right.
Some people like interpret it through like painting or like through like whatever. And for me, like, it's like, that's the way I speak. So I speak by like going off by myself and like figuring out like, I don't know. Like, I guess I've always felt like I'm really bad with like words, like my vocabulary and speaking to people, you know, verbally. So that's the way I speak is like through music. So, so yeah, like with this record, like I had like a goal when I wanted to record a record and, just kind of like let each song come as it wanted to.
Right.
And then, you know, recorded it and basically took it as like, you know, what it is. And like, you know, so I was, my whole plan was like to release it for free online.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So it ended up being like more than that, I guess, you know.
Look what happened. And you recorded it in your friend's in-law's garage, correct?
Yeah, it was at my, a lot of it was at my friend's house, and we did, like, just, like, strange, basically, like, I had, like, these ideas I wanted to interpret in different ways.
Right.
So we basically just, like, each day was totally different. I was, like, kind of, like, just let my spirit speak for me, and, like, I was, like, some of these songs, like, I want, like, this way, some I want this way, some I want this way. And so each instrument, like, that I went to, like, some of it was on, like, a really old Casio I bought on eBay. And, like, just kind of, like, I was like, I feel like this should be recorded in your kitchen. So, like, we went to his kitchen and, like, did all this kind of stuff. So it was all kind of different, but, like, with the vocals, I wanted the vocals, like, to be kind of, like, represented as an instrument itself,
right.
You know, and so his in-laws were out of town, so we, like, went over to their garage and did, like, vocals over there, and it was all, like, this, like, spur-of-the-moment thing that, like, every song was different, every, like, instrument was different, like, different places, like, that's kind of the way I am, like, as far as, like, wanting to experiment with, like, all kinds of different things.
Yeah. So when you recorded, then, the bonus 7-inch... with it in like an actual studio, how is it?
That was like, it was actually a blast, because it was like, there were these two songs I'd already been like working on. I was like, it was like at the, you know, as soon as the record was done, there was like this idea to record something that kind of like went along with it, and
instead of adding to it,
it was basically just like an additional thing. And so there were these ideas I'd been wrestling with and, like, how I wanted to, like, interpret them. And so basically, like, these ideas were, like, transformed into recordings over, like, a period of, like, 5 days.
Right, which is, like, total opposite.
Yeah, it's totally different. Yeah, so it was, like, it's kind of, like, this whole, like, wrestling with, you know, like, the song Ghost to Me was, like, all these kind of, like, things that had been like building up inside of me, but it was like, as far as like putting it into music, it was like this, literally within like probably about like 5 to 7 days, it was like taking just these like feelings and like putting it into music, and all of a sudden it was like recorded.
Was the whole song recorded, like written to recorded?
It was basically all written and recorded within like 7 days, so it was like basically just like all these like, it was a quick little, you know, but I wanted to get it out of my system. It was like this thing I wanted to like present and kind of just like let it come out, like force myself to just like here's this and here's this, you know, like.
Whereas before, for like the rest of the album, it was like a year and a half process almost on this one.
It was about for the rest of the record is about like, it's probably about like 6 months. 6 to 8 months of like writing, and like, you know, I always, when I write, I always like, I have this notebook, and like, I underline all the things I like want. Like this comes in here.
Do you
this,
bring it
this,
around
this.
With you?
Yeah.
Usually,
like
a field now?
Usually it's like usually like all this kind of stuff. I'm just like wanting to say, I guess. And so yeah, the record was very much that way, and the bonus tracks were very much like another way. And so, yeah, as far as like. I've been, like, you know, all the time at home, I'm always, like, constantly writing. Like, every break that we have, I go back home to Boise and, like, I don't know, just always, like, strive to speak in different ways. And, like, some of it's personal, some of it's not personal at all. Some of it's just, like, these ideas come to mind, whether through, like, dreams or through, like, I don't know, like, watching the way, like, just watching events happen and unfold and, like, just being like, man, like, I don't even know, like, what to think of that. So
yeah.
I'm gonna try to, like, put it to music. So it's just kind of, like, all these different ideas.
Yeah, which is interesting because things can happen to other people.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, I guess it just goes back to what I said, like, that's like the one way I know how to speak, and the cool thing about music is like, you know, there's like, especially on piano, when I'm writing on piano, and there's like different things I can't even necessarily like put into words that I'm wanting to express and relate to the rest of the world, but I, you know, just like certain like melodic progressions and things like that
right.
kind of like do it for me, I guess, you know.
Yeah, I think that comes across really well in the album, actually.
Thank you.
That even like, especially like in breaks where it's just a piano, that I think it sort of is an extension of lyrics rather than a break.
That's, yeah, it's like kind of like, it's this interesting, like, I don't know, like, yes, yeah, so many people like grabbed lyrics, and I spend so much time on my lyrics, and it's so funny because they're on The Year of Hibernation, they're like very buried because they were chosen to be like almost like an instrument, you know?
Right.
And but
so
at the same
like
time,
the piano and the vocals,
yeah, it's like kind of like crossing in between each other, like this like whole
yeah.
dynamic, you know. And but I spend so much time on them, so it's like this interesting like wrestling match to where it's like, you know, what's really the most important, all this kind of stuff. So basically it's thrown into like this whole like melting pot of like whatever comes out, it comes out.
Do you think that sort of honesty goes a long way nowadays in music?
I think it does, yeah. Like, I think like there's a lot of artists that are already like, you know, pursuing. I feel like honesty is very relative.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like whatever you want. Like,
right.
you, does that make sense?
That makes
like,
total
it's like
sense.
Honesty, like, for someone's honesty, the way they speak honestly is like totally different than the way like someone else speaks honestly. And so I think, you know, it's like hard to make like a judgment call on like what is honest and what's not,
right.
you know, because like, even in like, you look at like just pop music in general. Like, so many people are like, oh, this isn't honest, but like maybe to that person, like, that's honest.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, who are you to make a judgment call, you know? Like, so it's just kind of like this, so like music in general is like a giant wrestling, like,
yeah.
on like what the artist like truly wants to say, you know?
Perception.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what is your, one of your fondest memories of youthhood?
Of youthhood.
Of youthhood, of your youthhood.
God. One of...
I should have, like, said this an hour ago and been like, sit on this.
As far as youthhood goes, one of the things that sticks out the most to me is violence. As weird as that sounds, like, I feel like violence is, like, so prevalent and so many people try to ignore it. And there was, like, a lot of, like, things that, like, happened to me as a kid. And, like,
so you have a brother, I'm assuming.
I have many brothers. There was, like, different, like, people, like, that I didn't get along with. And there was, like, all this kind of, like, I don't know, like, hate, I guess. Not between brothers, but between, like,
yeah.
at a young age, there was all kinds of, like... like this like darkness and like things that people just usually skip past and
right.
They're like, oh, this was all like happy, and it's like there's like a, you know, there's, I feel like no matter where you are in life, there's always like all this like violence and like darkness that people like try to ignore, but it's like so prevalent.
Yeah,
like no matter
especially
where we are
in childhood, I think.
Yeah. I mean, but even in adulthood, like being an adult now, like there's like so many things like where it's like you can skip past all these like ideas that are like just like take over you.
Yeah.
You know, and like act like they don't happen, and act like violence doesn't still rule the world, but it does. If that makes any sense.
No,
like
I totally
it does.
Mean.
It totally does. And like so there's like this, I don't know, this balance beam when you're creating something, and it's like it's not always all like, I guess, like, and I've always said this, like the you know, I'm not inspired by like things that make me happy, because I'm
right.
a happy person, but there's always like all kinds of like this darkness that I feel like is around me and like around other people. And like I've seen, you know, like deaths, I've seen like suicides, I've seen like all kinds of like, you know, like humanity being
real
at its
things.
Darkest form.
Yeah.
And so it's like hard to ignore that. So there's like, I don't know, there's like this like whirlwind of emotions, you know.
Most of the time,
like when I'm happy, I don't feel like sitting down at the piano and like writing a song.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? But like when there's something that's like torturous, and like something that I'm just like, man, like why? Like why is this happening? Like why the hell would this happen? And why would this happen? Like,
which is why I love the time when artists have breakup albums. Those are the best albums.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, I know what you mean. There's like something to be said about like, you know, watching, even if it's not yourself, because usually it always comes back to you.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what you do, it always comes back to you. So there's like these like people that you see and like things and like even in movies or like whatever that inspires you, and you like see all this like violence and darkness, and like it always comes back to you, you know,
yeah.
as much as you ignore it, like, yeah. it always comes back to you.
Do you think it's fair that like I did while doing research for the interview, I read in a lot of interviews that people really focus on that darkness with the album and like anxiety and all that. Do you think it's fair that the album's sort of defined by darkness? Like do you find it's a dark album?
I think it is, yeah. I think like more so like it kind of like it's like kind of frustrating to see like, you know, I've always said people interpret things different ways, because
right.
it's so true. Like, you know, you speak in one way and someone takes it as like, oh, he meant this or he meant that, you know. And so much of it is just like, it's like, how did you get that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, for real? Like, how'd you get that? Like, so I would say like this record for me is like a very, you know, like, you know, say like people dwell on the whole nostalgic factor
right.
and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, like, hell no. Like, it's not like dwelling on like these like
sentimental,
yeah. like, past things that have happened, and like, oh, there's so much, like, it was like, no, it's like, if anything, it's like completely opposite. Like,
yeah,
it's like
they're still prevalent.
Yeah,
the
like
things that happen,
because no matter what you create, it always somewhat relates to the past,
right?
And it always, I feel like what I create more relates to the future,
right?
So it's like this like fear of the future, and like this like cloud that is always hanging over us, that like you don't know what's gonna happen. It's like this like, you're going into like this blackness that's like unknown, and
right.
there's like so much like anxiety in that,
mm-hmm.
and that's like what's like truly inspirational to me, is like moving ahead and like this like into like this black cloud, and you can't see anything in front of you. All of a sudden your ship runs into like some rock and you start sinking,
yeah.
and like that's like what I see when I'm like writing music. But there's always that sense of going back, and like this happened, and then you, it's like more so towards the future, like, so I would say, yeah, I'd say definitely like the year of hibernation was written in a very, 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 very dark like
yeah.
manner. Like I was like going through counseling. I was like,
for anxiety.
Yeah. For anxiety. Yeah. So I was seeing really,
yeah. When I was younger. Yes.
Yeah. It was like this, and I still have such a hard time. Like it's like,
what's scary when you're younger to realize that there's reality and not just what you're being told as a kid, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was younger, I never, like, it was never really, it was kind of ignored. But then as it started, like, getting into adulthood and all that kind of stuff, I was kind of, like, having to face what was actually going on in my mind. And so, I was, like, seeing, like, I've been seeing, like, multiple different counselors and, like, trying to figure out, like, what it is that makes me feel certain things. Because, like, my mind always moves towards, like, darkness, I guess. And I'm always, like, trying to fight it off because, like, you know. Like, so it's, I feel like most of what I write kind of comes from, like, a darker atmosphere. But I guess maybe it's, like, I don't know. Somehow it's, like, interpreted differently, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah. So is it more, like, Year of Hibernation? Is it fair to say it's, like, an outlet? Or is it just
the Year of Hibernation as a record?
As a record. Like,
yeah,
the writing process.
It was. That, like, the Year of Hibernation was very, like, that was a personal record. Like,
yeah.
That was something, it was, like, my mind was going through, like, this whole, like, adaption to my surroundings and all this kind of stuff, and so that was a personal record. That's not to say, like, you know, most actually, like, the majority of what I write is, like, basically, like, an interpretation of, like, everything, like, what's going on around me.
Right.
But the Year of Hibernation was, like, a very personal record.
Right. And a lot of the time on the Year of Hibernation, you allude to posters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what sort of significance that has.
Posters, like, I started, like, getting super obsessed with the idea of, like, when you know, posters as far as, like, the idea of, like, when someone puts something on their wall and it stays there for so
forever.
Long. And, you know, you'll, like, you basically clean up everything around it, but the posters are always there. So it's, like, these, like, things that, like, somehow, like, stick to the lining of, like, your soul and you're, like, it's basically, like, always holding on. But you're, like, you always, like, clean up everything around it. But those,
and you've aged 10 years.
Yeah, but those posters are still, like, always sticking to, like, the lining of your insides,
yes.
You know? So that's what I started, like, really obsessing over that idea. And so it started just, like, kind of coming out in different forms,
right.
I guess, you know? So that's kind of how the whole idea of posters, like, happened.
What posters do you have on your walls?
I don't know, like,
Farrah Fawcett.
By this time, most of them are gone. I've kind of torn them all off.
Why?
I don't know, just because I started wrestling with that idea, like, there's all these things that are always, like, there, and you clean around it, but there's, like, things that are always, like, prevalent,
yeah.
I guess, and you just kind of start getting sick of it,
yeah.
And you want them to be, like, totally gone,
yeah.
You know, so most of my posters have been ripped off.
Do tattoos sort of do the same thing for you as posters once did?
Tattoos, I feel like they're, like, very, like, powerful as far as, like, the way they, you know, like, most of mine, like, I've gotten in, like, different cities, and
you should go to the guy around the corner.
Really?
Yeah, you should go to the guy around the corner.
All right, I'll try him out. But, like, there'll be different things I'm, like, thinking about. And at that moment, it's almost like when you have a passport and you go into different places and you get a stamp, you know, and it's like you forever, like, look at it and you're like, man, like, I remember, like, when I got this stamped, I was this, and when I got this stamped, I was this, and because as a human being, you're like never the same human being.
No.
Like, every day, like, you're, like, a different human being,
wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so the people are, like, people that think you're the same human being tomorrow are so ignorant, it blows my mind. Like, you're totally different. Every day you change, and sometimes, like, relationships are lost because of that.
Yeah.
Because you assume, like, oh, this person's going to be the same that they are, you know, tomorrow, you know.
Or years from now.
Yeah, or years from now, and you're so ignorant, like, ignorant. Like, some people are, and those people are the people you don't want to associate yourself with, like. The people that don't change, like, tomorrow are the people that you want to, like, at least I wanted to cut off from my life. Like, I don't want any part of you.
Right.
Because, like, if you have no sense of, like, social evolution, then you're, like, you better me in no way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, So tattoos to me are like, it's like time stamps basically of like, you know, this, and it's like all these time stamps, like almost like a passport getting stamped.
Right.
And you, so it's, I don't know, it's like a, almost like a sign of like, I guess, evolution, you know?
Right.
In a very like social way.
Probably.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. All right, final question. What do you want to be when you grow up?
What do I want? I feel like in a lot of ways I'm already up.
No, because you have to change.
No, I'm saying in a lot of ways I'm already up.
Oh, okay.
Just because you're up doesn't mean that you're exactly the same.
Okay.
So every day, yeah, every day carries you like in different ways. So I feel like we're all, like all of us are already up. Like there's like this whole idea of like, you know, up. Like what does up mean, you know? But I feel, we're all up, but it's like up changes. So I can't say, like, you know, you change. So up always changes.
It is the end of the Youth Lagoon tweets and postings and all that. I hope it was worth it. I listened to it back and it made me very happy. Those are very nice boys running that show. So now, as promised, here is the final part of our show, which is a nice little interview with Walter Woodman of the new band Shy Kids from Toronto. Let me see if I can make this work. I'm sorry, Walter, if this doesn't work. Let me play the song In the Pudding by the band and figure out the interview as well. How does that sound? Decent, I think. Okay. So yeah, this is from, as I discovered, the EP is called Field Trips. There we go. I did it. So here's the song In the Pudding, and we'll try to figure out Walter on top of it in a second.
The summer just said, like, yeah, we should really make music and stuff. And then I introduced him to my friend Matt, and like, it was like when you have two friends who are really good at like a video game or something, and like they live in different areas, and you like want them to meet. The reason we started to make music was
it's cool, guys. I figured it out, don't worry.
What songs can you play? He's like, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. And so I said, okay, let's do that. And so we played and we won. And yeah, then I kind of on the summer just said, yeah, we should really take this step. And then I introduced him to my friend Matt. And like, answer that very good or something. Hopefully you can use it. It's really weird that I'm talking to you, but it's like one GarageBand track. Feeling creepy.